Morning. Doorbell security camera footage of Paul with his two girls and the family dog. He gets them into the car. Soon, Nicola walks out and puts the dog into the car.
It's emergency.
Oh, hello. My partner left this morning at 8:30 to take my two children to school, and the dog went with her because we take the dog for a walk.
Right.
I was getting concerned because she hadn't returned home by 9:30. She's usually back by 9:30, so I thought she must have got chatting to somebody. I've been trying to ring her since about 10:30. No reply. And then the school's just rung me to say that they've just found the dog. Somebody's found the dog, and my partner's put her phone down on a bench and the dog lead, and she's nowhere to be seen.
The 45-year-old woman who vanished while walking her dog along the river was last seen.
Nicola Bully went missing in Lancashire on January the 27th, 2023.
I remember thinking at the time, how is this so big?
There's the bench.
What on earth is going on?
I don't understand how she can go missing.
Just can't stop thinking about it. Like, where is she?
It was almost as if people didn't want to believe the police, didn't want to believe what we had to say.
The police say, this is what it is. It's almost like a parent saying, because I said so. Social media is going to take that and kick against it really strongly.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense.
She was the glue for the family, She was the glue. No. That's what we kept saying to ourselves. She would never have gone off on her own.
We were absolutely worried sick, because it was just, there's nothing we could do other than wait.
Anything that builds the hope up, you grab it with both hands.
I don't think she's here. I think there's probably a third party involved.
I always expected, like, Nikki to come walking through the door. I expected it to be just a horrendous nightmare that we were 100% going to wake up from at any minute.
Title: The Search for Nicola Bully. For the first time since the search, the people inside the story are speaking. Paul Ansell, Nicola Bully's partner.
You comfortable, Paul?
Yeah, I think so.
Can you actually just start by just telling me who you are?
I'm Paul, Nikki's partner. We were together 11 years. We have two beautiful girls together. Things were pretty great.
Inskip, Lancashire.
A Friday morning was normal as any other, really. And they set off like any other morning. Nikki would usually get back after taking the girls and walking Willow around about 10 o'clock. I got to about 10:15 and she wasn't back. I wasn't overly worried, but when it got to about 10:30, the school rang to say that somebody had found Willow by the bench and Nikki's phone, and they can't find Nikki anywhere. And, I mean, that's not a normal phone call to get. She would never have left Willow. Something isn't right here. I remember almost having, like, a panic attack, just where you feel like your legs have gone. In a situation like that, your mind is going absolutely crazy. And so I rung the police as I was driving.
Has anybody seen her this morning, as far as you're aware, apart from yourself?
No. I mean, people probably saw her when she dropped the kids off, but yeah. I don't know if she spoke to anyone. She has been struggling with her mental health, so it's very concerning.
The last few months it had had its challenges.
So when you say she's been struggling with her mental health lately, does she have mental health issues?
No, not really, but she's been going through the pre-menopause, and that's given her a lot of issues.
Right, OK.
You know, she's taken herself off somewhere, or unable to cope.
She has been struggling a bit, and she's been a bit up and down.
And I knew that would make them act immediately.
I'm just here now, so I'm just walking off.
OK.
When I got there, got handed Willow, and, like, then I was handed Nikki's phone, and I'm just sort of stood there, like, well, what? We all started having a look. We were shouting. I just thought, we'll find her, and she'll be sat over there, or she'll be sat there, or something. Then the police turned up, and I got told to go home.
Louise Cunningham, Nicola's sister.
That Friday, I was just sat at my desk and I got a phone call from Paul. And he was panicky and frantic and he was like, something's happened, something strange has happened. And I was like, what? But if I'm being completely honest, I wasn't panicked by it. I thought it was strange, but I just thought it would be something really straightforward that had happened and Nicky had obviously gone to help somebody else, maybe another dog walker had got in trouble or something like that.
We got a phone call, didn't we, from Louise, to say Nicky's missing.
Dorothy and Ernest bully Nicola's mum and dad.
We drove over as quick as we could to Paul's and I said, I've got to go to St Michael's, I've got to try and help. And there was a lot of activity. Fire, service, rescue, helicopters. It was something like that of a film set.
James Pinder, search advisor.
The case was reported to police at 11 o'clock. The time I arrived, there was already countless emergency services at scene and our dive team had just arrived. My role as the search advisor is to draw up a search plan. There were many possibilities. There was a possibility that she'd entered the water. There was a possibility that she'd sought time alone and left the area. There was a possibility that she was ill or injured on land. So we had a land-based search. In my mind, she was in the water. We've got a woman disappears next to a river at the top of a steep bank. But the biggest thing was the dog, Willow. She was off the lead. There was nothing to keep her in that location physically, but she wouldn't leave the area between the bench and the water. If Nicky had walked off in a different direction and maybe climbed over a fence and gone across fields, then why would Willow still be between the bench and water?
A diver searching the river.
They dove the stretch slightly upstream of the bench and then continued downstream. They dove that with two divers and told me that that area was clear. The report from the diver was that he was really having to swim against the current on the bottom. Because from the surface where we were stood, it looked like the river wasn't moving at all. So I knew that there was enough water on the bottom to basically carry a body out of that search area.
One of Nicola's friends took me down to St Michael's and I can remember seeing my dad. And it was like, why is a ghost? Just walking up and down.
As the day went on, I remember the worry and the anxiety of everything and the fear, the severity of the situation slowly starts to build.
Late Friday evening, Lancashire Constabulary released a Facebook post. I think you knew how serious it was, the fact that they were going to that length so early on.
The aerial searches, the fire and rescue teams, all of that went on until last light. At that point, if the river was our likelihood, then it was a recovery operation and not a rescue.
Paul's becoming upset.
A friend picked the girls up and later that night I popped over there to see the girls who were now having a sleep over there. And when I went round there, I remember them asking where Mummy was and I said that she wasn't feeling well. I just need to bide us time here to find her.
Day two. Police are searching along the riverbanks.
The plan for the Saturday was to extend the search operation on the land out several kilometres. The water-based searches, there was a dive operation, the downstream of the weir, into the tidal range.
Did you have a handbag anywhere?
We were in constant contact with the police.
You need to do.
Yeah, they do ask you where you were. You get it, it's horrible, but you understand.
I was really hoping we'd hear something before dark.
Somebody will be in touch with you, though, OK?
You're just trying to work out what the heck has happened. You're just in a state of shock, aren't you?
We didn't sleep much.
No.
We just kept saying, where are you?
Yeah.
Day three. Police are searching a churchyard.
On the Sunday, we still hadn't had any news, and so the girls, you know, I needed them to come home on the Sunday. I remember them walking in and they knew something was wrong because all the family was at the house. So I told them Mummy was missing, but at the same time I said, but we're going to find her, you know, and that's where they were looking, like, helicopters and the skylights, are they looking for Mummy? I was like, yeah, you know, we're going to find her.
Nicola, filming herself with Willow. Day 4. Becky Smith, Senior Investigating Officer.
You can't assume anything. You have to check everything. Monday the 30th of January, on the day that I took over the case, I went to meet the family. She's a mum, clearly loved her two children that's dropped them at school and then disappeared, so it was highly unusual. There didn't seem any reason for that to happen, and obviously you think the worst. Any investigator would corroborate everybody's accounts, which I did very early on, and at no point was Paul ever a suspect. He'd not left the house until he was contacted by the school. Very quickly, I was able to build up a tight timescale of Nikki's movements and the witnesses' movements. So we knew that Nikki had left the house about 8:26 that morning with the girls. That was captured on CCTV. And we knew that she'd travelled to the school in St Michael's. We had dash cam footage of her car in the car park of the school at 8:40. We then had parents at the school that saw her walk up the main road towards the Iron Bridge, and we then knew from digital inquiries with her telephone that she then turned onto the river path that leads down to the bench, where she then walked her dog in the lower and upper fields. We were then able to speak to one of the witnesses, Claire Chesham, who arrived around 9 o'clock, and Claire then continued her walk around the field and could see Nikki ahead of her. She was walking around the field with her phone out in front of her. She was arranging play dates for the weekend. We knew what time Claire had left the field the last time that Nikki was seen, about 9:10. Nikki was playing with Willow. She'd logged onto a Teams call for mortgage advisors, and we knew that Louise had sent her a text at 9:18. Now, that would have been sent at the same time Nikki was on the Teams call, so we know that that message was never opened. Then at 9:20, we knew the phone didn't move from the bench area until it was found at about 9:33. So we knew at that point that whatever had happened to Nikki had happened by then.
Danny Savage, BBC News correspondent.
The first I knew about what had happened was when I read something online in one of the national papers on the Sunday. I read through it and think this is a story that is in my patch. What is the official line from the police?
On a good day, you'd be able to see the River Wire winding its way out towards the sea, and it would give you an idea of just the scale of area that the police were searching.
The first update from the police was on the Monday after Nicola went missing.
This is a 45-year-old lady from the local area.
How suspicious do you think this is?
Well, the police keeping a really open mind about what could have happened, but we do believe the likelihood is that Nicola's gone missing.
There was no suggestion of any criminal wrongdoing or any foul play, and so I didn't think that this was going to be a national news story.
Where was her mobile phone found?
Mobile phone was found on a bench.
What changed things was details emerged of the telephone being left on the bench.
It was still connected to a work conference call.
And the dog Willow the Spaniel still wandering around.
Local people who saw it say it was dry and hadn't been in the river.
It gave the whole thing an air of mystery. People just don't vanish. Where's she gone?
In Norfolk, TikToker Saskia's watching social media.
I don't understand how she can go missing. It doesn't add up.
The first time I was aware that Nicola was missing...
I really hope that woman is okay.
I was kind of drawn to it.
A mum doesn't get up one morning, take her kids to school, take the dog out, and then vanish.
She just seemed like a normal person, like myself. It could be me, like, I walk my dogs. I was then trying to understand what had happened, why it had happened.
I mean, if it was an accident, right, she's not expecting to fall into the river, so she would have the phone with her.
Obviously, there's a lot of it that doesn't make sense. There was an update a couple of days ago.
On TikTok, I started to do the lives. Yeah, the only... and I agree there, Pepsi.
I think the first couple, there was a couple of hundred people in the lives, and then we got over 1,000, sometimes nearly 2. So you could see it escalating.
I just kind of wanted to come on and address it because I just think it's weird. And they don't have the answers.
And you can just see people's minds ticking over, like, what is going on here? None of this is making sense at all.
I will see you guys soon. Bye for now. Bye.
Day 5.
If the river was our likelihood at that point, that's difficult because I knew that she'd be subsurface and I knew the likely refloat time when the body would come to the surface of the water. There was very little likelihood of her being on the surface for the next couple of weeks.
The flow of the river's going that way.
Yeah. The community in this Lancashire village is doing everything they can.
I think it's really grips everybody. You know, everybody just wants to help.
The local community.
Take care.
They was feeling our pain. You could tell.
Yeah.
They kept bringing food in, parcels.
It was at Paul's every day. We wanted to be...
together.
The liaison officers were a lifeline to us.
You know, we would sit there every day just going over everything. You feel like you're cracking up because you're just constantly, constantly, constantly going round and round and round and round every single scenario in your head. The nights were the hardest. The end of the day where it goes dark. Because in the morning, the hope would be strong. And then it used to go dark at, like, 4. It get to about 3 o'clock and I used to start panicking that I knew that it'd start going dark in an hour. So we had an hour to try and find her. And then obviously I then have the girls. You know, the first thing that they do when they come out of school was run over and say, have we found Mummy?
One morning I got up and the youngest one, she says, it's cold, isn't it, Nanny? So I said, yeah. She said, oh, I hope Mummy's OK and she's not cold and hungry.
6 days she's been missing, 6 days of torment for the family. Somebody must know something.
45-year-old Nicola Bully parked her car at her daughter's primary school, then she dropped off her 6 and her 9-year-old for school.
So when making a TikTok, when done right, it can absolutely spread the word. It's had 2 billion users worldwide, and I think it's the future of journalism.
Now, Lucy White, Daily Mail TikTok lead.
And when I did that first video, it got 3 million views. Everyone wanted to know, where has she gone?
She didn't have the camera on or her microphone on. It was muted, but she was on the call.
And I think there was an element of fear that was sparked. People don't just go missing in the middle of the day after the school run. If that can happen in Middle England to a white woman with kids, that can happen to me.
There was the possibility that there was third-party involvement and that Nikki had maybe been taken away from the area against her will. Looking at the area, it was clear to me there were 4 main exit points. We were really fortunate in this case that 3 of the 4 were covered by CCTV, so 3 out of 4 of the routes, we could categorically say there was no signs of Nikki and she hadn't passed. The only problem we had was the river path. So we definitely knew she'd walked that route, but it was whether she'd come out again. There were absolutely no positive sightings of Nikki.
Police are continuing to appeal for dashcam footage.
There were no sightings of Nikki on any of the hundreds of hours with dashcam footage that we seized. So Nikki was last seen on the riverbank, and therefore it was my belief that she had unfortunately fallen in the river.
Day 7. Louise at home with Stephen Cunningham, Nicola's brother-in-law.
It was a Friday afternoon, a week to the day that Nikki had gone missing, and Becky Smith come to the house. I can remember us all just being in the lounge together, and Becky said that they believed that Nikki had fallen in the river. And I can remember it being like quite a shock, really.
It's never going to be an easy conversation. And they didn't want to believe what I said. And I understand that. Would any family want to know or think that that's what happened. I don't think I would if I was in that position.
To think of the river, I mean, well, it's over, isn't it? It's over. So, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't let my mind go there. I wouldn't do it.
It is our working hypothesis that she's entered the water accidentally.
It is possible, as the dog was loosened off the lead, that there may have been an issue with the dog that led her to go near to the water's edge.
She puts the phone down to go and deal with the dog momentarily, and Nicola may have fallen in.
The fact that after all the searching that they'd already done in the water and hadn't found anything, it gave us an awful lot of hope.
Unfortunately, we have not still found Nicola.
It'd been a week and there's been absolutely no sign of her, no item of clothing found. How do you know it's the river? Why don't you think of her parties involved?
Yes, several of the exits from the riverside area are either locked or they're covered by CCTV.
We still didn't go along with it because there was no evidence that she had gone in the river.
No, it was very...
There's no evidence.
But we are as sure as we can be that Nicola did not leave the area.
I think all I kept saying to them at the time was that the only thing we have at the minute is that she isn't in there. So in my head, we were going to find her.
Thank you. OK.
Difficult, really difficult. Ultimately, I couldn't give them the answers that they wanted to hear, and they were absolutely focused on, no, she's not gone in the river.
The flowing river. Nicola on a video call.
Hello, good afternoon. I hope everybody's having a lovely Saturday. I just wanted to pop on and do a little video. So if I turn the video around now so I can show you.
Social media. Nikki used it more than I did because she used to sell stuff, so she would do live videos.
So you've got your top layer and then you have all these gorgeous products.
It wasn't a huge part of our lives, but yeah, when you experience something like this, you realise what a huge monster it can be, I guess.
Social media posts, then a Sky News report.
The police were saying she fell in to a very deep
and cold river.
Yeah, but how? It just left a big vacuum of questions. And I remember her friends, they were sure that she was still alive. They were sure that she was still somewhere and that someone knew something. They were adamant. How did that make you feel?
As I said, I gasped. If you let your mind go there, then I don't know how you come back from it.
People wanted to do everything that they possibly could. There were friends talking to the media on a daily basis and pushing it. I remember us thinking at the time, it needs to be kept in the media spotlight to keep the pressure on the police.
There has been no evidence found that would point to the fact that Nicky was in the water or had ever been in the water.
It meant that they had to keep searching and they had to keep that pressure on and they had to keep going with it. And then, of course, you know, anything gets out on mainstream media goes on social media.
Now, this is where we enter the crucial 10-minute black spot.
So the two, in a way, go hand in hand. I didn't want to get bogged down with any of it, so I came off whatever platforms I was on. But we had friends and relatives who are online, and some of the stuff that we were being said, we were like, yeah, we agree with you. What the heck has happened?
Hello, Grizzlies, and welcome back to another episode of Grizzly True Crime. My name is Gisela Kay, and today we continue to look at the case of Nicola Bulley. Maurice Australia says, how can they be so sure to say there's no one else involved? The thing is, they're not so sure they're saying hypotheses.
So, Grizzly True Crime is a one-woman brand, that would be me, and we have this community called the Grizzlies, and most of the public were more into the abduction theory than anything else.
I wonder if abduction is a possibility.
The hope that you hold on to is riddled with fear and a whole other level of trauma because I was convinced somebody had taken her.
Is there a possibility that someone could have forced her to that bus stop? I don't know. The only thing I'm looking at is, damn, that bus leaves at like 9:24. It's quite perfect timing, that.
She walked down that walk a lot. You don't know who's looking. You don't know.
And you
if
hear,
somebody's...
You hear these stories, don't you?
I believe there's talk going around that a scream was heard.
Two screams were heard.
Yeah.
As well.
I'm at a loss as to why they could keep telling us, oh, yeah, it was just she tripped and fell in the river. Well, then where is she?
I think it's important to consider all the theories.
Could there be a kidnapping? Is that what's happening here?
You know, anything's possible. It could be that there is somebody else involved.
The abandoned house is here on the left of me. The police had not done a search of this.
That was a secure property that was being maintained daily, had been checked by police, but had been reported that it hadn't, and it was the same on the caravan site.
If something bad has happened to her, foul play, was there anybody in those caravans at the time, and what did they hear?
That leash was meant to be there, and so was that phone.
The phone and the dog lead was a decoy.
I was down on the riverbank on a Sunday afternoon, and it was really busy down there. The number of people out along here is extraordinary. There are dozens and dozens of people. And the first person I stopped for a vox pop said they were a psychic and said that their theory was that two men had come up the river in a boat, they'd kidnapped Nicola, they'd taken her off back down the river, and she was being held in a shipping container in Fleetwood.
I feel like she's being moved. And I don't know how they would do this because the area is being watched. But I feel like she's being moved.
That is the sort of thing that was going on social media.
The glove. This came up last night on TikTok and blew up.
The TikTok sleuths. Those theories were getting so much traction. We saw that in the instance of the glove and the Sun newspaper taking something from TikTok. When something like that happens, it really turns the dial because then people believe, OK, well, it was on TikTok and it's now in the newspaper, so it must be true.
Lancashire police say they believe that Nicola...
There was a real hunger for new lines of this story. And so you felt that pressure on the ground to deliver and to provide content that would do well.
The 45-year-old mortgage advisor dropped...
It was all over social media, was on the television, everywhere.
Wird das Schicksal von Nicola Bally jetzt aufgeklärt?
And people were questioning the effectiveness of the investigation, of the search.
Maybe they have got evidence that we don't know about.
Well, I want to hear what form of evidence, what
Why?
Type of evidence
Why should we know if it's part of an investigation?
Because it may help so many people that don't...
Experts were providing opinion, which contradicted significantly the hypothesis that she had gone into the river.
The fact that there isn't any evidence to support a third party doesn't mean to say there isn't one.
It was almost as if people didn't want to believe the police, didn't want to believe what we had to say. There was a rumour of her being above a garage or a pub or something.
And then our minds were just going crazy then to think, what if that is the case, what was she going through?
Yeah. Because we was driving along, weren't we? You know, when you see, like, old garages and things like that, and we kept thinking...
Is she in
could
there?
She be in, could somebody have, you know, taken her and put her in there and holding her against the wheel? That was hard, wasn't it?
Day 8. Nicola's parents are on a Sky News report.
You always think you're someone else until it becomes...
Your nightmare.
Your nightmare. You're right, Dorothy.
We knew that the resource around the police wouldn't last forever. And obviously, like anybody, you want to still keep at the forefront of everybody's minds.
Nicola's sister, dad and mother, for the first time, spoke of the pain they've all been feeling.
In a story like this, it becomes very competitive. And I'm really glad that they trusted us, and trusted me, to sit there and ask them questions about the nightmare that they were going through.
It's hard. It's hard. We're such a close-knit family, we are.
This is great. This is box office because it really personalised the story.
If there's anything that you can remember that just doesn't seem right, then please reach out to the police. Please just get in touch.
Move like a metre this side again.
We knew that we were fortunate to have that level of interest that kept searching and all the effort on finding Nicky. But I think anything like that is a double-edged sword. That's the problem. You're poking a monster.
Friends who have been so key at raising the profile of the missing 45-year-old are feeling the strain.
Nicky is the most beautiful person. You see the pictures of her, so she's beautiful on the outside, but she's also the kindest soul on the inside.
Emma was going out of her way, you know, to drum up an awful lot of media interest.
We don't know what... why she's missing, where she is. We just want her home.
KDK is thinking like me. I'd like to know the relationship between the friend and the husband. Me too. There's so many questions I have.
If one feels that something is definitely not right, I think it's important to acknowledge it's a red flag.
And just by the way, the partner, he hasn't done any on-camera media interviews from what I can find. Her parents are on camera, of course. He hasn't been... you make up your own mind. What do you think about that?
Day 9.
Me and Nikki are such private people. I couldn't think of anything worse than going to do an interview on the news. But on that day, I remember getting to the school, getting into the car park, I got the girls out, walked them into school, and then Emma called me and said, "Where are you? All the press are here. If you drive over the bridge and all the press are able to get these pictures if you're driving over the bridge, that might be enough to just shut them up." And so I did it. I drove over the bridge and I pulled up.
So, I know this is stupid. Just for a sound check, introduce yourself for us.
Hi, I'm Paul. Then I started recording. Now I'm in this now. And now I can't get out of this.
Such a difficult time. Just tell us your thoughts and emotions at the moment.
I don't really have anything to say other than what the family said yesterday. My whole focus is my two girls. You are so far out of your normal life, comfort zone. I'm scared that if I put any focus into anything else, it's going to take my, you know, focus off that. So I've got to be very careful. It's obviously something's taken over to protect you because you're in such a high level of stress. You don't have anything else, do we?
Well, there's hope.
We're never ever going to lose the hope. Of course we're not. Then I think from that Sky interview, I think awful things started to be said.
Have a watch of this. Now, why is he smiling? Get that guy in for questioning. There's something wrong there.
What doesn't sit right with me, with this gentleman, is his body language.
First thing, I go to the partner. He is always the main suspect. Because people are murdered by people they know.
Cannot get mad about any of it.
People were suspicious because he does come across detached, I think.
All we're doing is sitting there going round and round and round.
In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, perhaps if things weren't great at home.
The idea that your full attention should be on the two girls, meaning the children, is not entirely correct here, is it? Because your missus is missing.
When the door's shut, you don't know what arguments have gone on, if they were going to stay together, because there was a lot of rumours saying that they weren't going to be staying together.
Every single scenario comes to a brick wall.
Does it, though? Every single scenario comes to a brick wall. OK, I'll give you some scenarios that don't come to a brick wall. One, she's gone off because she just fucking hates you.
It just went like that overnight. It went from Nikki's gone missing, she might have run away, to husband's killed her.
If I'd murdered my... Oh, God, I'm going down this road a bit now. If I'd murdered my wife...
Oh, there's some nasty people out there that just conjure up rubbish.
Mm. Nicola and Paul was happy as a couple and as a family.
They loved each other.
Yeah.
They were always together. And they just liked being together.
Mm.
Some of the absolute batshit crazy things that were being said. Conspiracies about me having an affair with one of Nikki's friends. And then that wasn't Nikki who left my house that morning.
Today, new images have been given to the BBC showing Nicola packing her car on the morning she disappeared.
But then you release something to try and squash something and all it does is then spirals into something else.
On the clothing that Nicola was last seen wearing.
Looking at the CCTV and then listening to the police description of Nicola.
They are an ankle-length black quilted gilet jacket.
If you look at the CCTV, it is not ankle length and it doesn't look black to me. The person that was wearing the long black jacket was Emma White. People were saying, why would Paul give Emma White's description and not Nicola's description? They were just different things that didn't add up at the time, made people question, including myself.
Do you ever get worried that being part of that increases the conspiracy theories?
No, it doesn't worry me because at the end of the day, in the great scheme of what's going on out there, 1,000 people in my life is a lot to me, but in the population, it's not.
You've got reality going on, but they're watching it like a soap opera. Even some well-meaning people, they just revel in drama.
I was on my phone and me and Mum were at Paul's
And I just had a message come up from a lady referring to a video of me dancing during lockdown. And I was dancing with the dogs and Stephen. We just had a barbecue, the two of us. And she sent me a message saying, wow, they say life goes on, but dancing around your kitchen like that already. And I was like, what the hell?
I was getting direct messages from people that I've never met. They don't know me, they don't know us, they don't know Nikki, they know nothing about us. Just messages like, you bastard, we know what you did, you know, you can't hide Paul, that kind of stuff. There was some that I felt like replying to, but then if you reply to that, they'll just screenshot your reply, that'll end up on social media, and so you're literally silenced. And you can't do anything about it. On top of everything else, on top of the trauma of the nightmare that we're in, to then think that all these horrendous things were being said about me towards Nikki, everyone has a limit, don't they? But at the same time, it's not about me, is it? The focus is finding Nikki. That's all that we want to do.
The amount of searching that's gone on in this river, I would have thought she would have been found by now.
In the first week that Nicola was missing, Peter Fording had been used as an expert interviewee by some media.
Apparently sonar's been used, but that's only as good as the equipment or the operator using them. We could have scanned this river.
And he was talking quite authoritatively about how to find a missing person.
We need to clear that river.
It obviously got our attention. We weren't going to turn down his help, were we, to find...
If somebody's saying, if she's in there, I'll find her, you're going to listen to what they've got to say?
Just with a mobile phone by a river, that's not good enough evidence for me.
I was focusing more on the fact that he'd said that he would be able to prove that she wasn't in the water.
Nicola Bulley's partner, Paul Ansell, made a call directly to this search team, this private firm.
I remember very well Peter Fording coming onto the scene. People were like, oh, new character, who's this?
He says in his 20 years of experience that when someone drowns, they do sink and they stay there.
Peter Fording was outside of the police investigation. You know, he was providing contradictory opinion. Who do they believe? And who do they want to believe?
Got a really specialist bit of kit, high-frequency side-scan sonar, which we've got a very high hit rate.
Peter was so confident. I was on tender hooks the whole time Peter was there because he was adamant that if she was there, he would have found her.
First day ended and they hadn't found anything, so that was exactly what we'd hoped for.
We are going to go back over the original area that was searched twice by the police.
The next day, same again.
He gave it the big, I can find her if she's in the water. And days went by and he hadn't found her.
It's looking pretty slim at the moment, to be honest with you, from what I'm used to finding, so this is a very odd one.
For 3 days, Peter searches up and down the river, and at the end of his 3 days, no trace of Nicola is found. And in interviews that Peter gives afterwards, he basically says, I really honestly question whether or not she's in the water.
I said that if Nicola's here, I'll find her.
If Nicola was in that river, I would have found her. I can guarantee you that.
And she's not there.
That was a very bold statement to make, because she was in the river. They didn't want to think that that happened to Nikki. So he's telling them what they want to hear.
I don't think she's here. I think there's probably a third party involved.
It was a huge relief hearing that. But now what? We didn't know what to do. And the police were still the river. And I remember that really infuriating me because their hypothesis didn't change.
Mr. Fording isn't included within all the investigation detail any more than the members of the public are. Thank you.
At that point, you know, there's an awful lot of conflict with the police. And so, in the interview I did with Dan Walker, that's where I was just like, I just want outbuildings and...
Every garage, every outbuilding, the land scrutinised. I want it all searched. I want it all scrutinised. Every piece of it.
Paul, I've no doubt that his thought wasn't rational.
at that time. He had so many external influences.
It felt rational at the time.
You're not going to appease me with anything else.
I always expected, like, Nikki to come walking through the door. And for the girls, I used to visualise being able to say, yeah, she's going to be OK. That was all I was thinking in my head.
Week three, you definitely saw a real escalation on social media.
We're going to have a look, a potential site where possibly it looks like a burial site to me.
And it seemed like daily. What else can happen next?
I still think something untoward has happened here.
We were getting reports of people hypothesising on social media that Nikki's body was in X location.
There were certain places where my foot just gave way.
And then getting phone calls from local business owners, landowners, saying, I can now see a load of people coming down our drive with spades.
Look at this. It's soft, isn't it?
That's soft.
There were a couple of individuals.
We're going to walk to the bench, have a look at the river level there, and then we're going to walk elsewhere.
Who caused significant concern.
Actually, we've been in people's back gardens on the night time with torches and stuff like that.
This is a missing person investigation.
The weir that we think is the main problem.
Where people are coming down to make money out of it by gaining clicks.
The caravan park is through there.
Knocking on people's windows in their gardens.
Off you go.
We actually came on just to look around how big it is. That's what it was.
What do you think you're doing?
We had to take dispersal orders out and we had to make arrests.
Do you have anything to say about Nicola Bully?
Nothing at all.
What was he called?
Curtis Arnold.
You're just crossing the line and that's what's annoying people. And asking people...
But I haven't really done that before.
Just listen to me. Yeah, but you have done it now.
I went to pick the girls up from school one day and he was stood in the entrance of the car park.
This is where Nicola parked the car at the school?
Filming me turning up to pick my kids up from school. And I thought to myself, you gotta be kidding me.
There's a lot of debris there, a lot of big brick and stuff, so...
Yes.
If you were to fall in and hit your head on one of them, you probably would knock yourself out.
When I learned of Dan Duffy, trying to show people what the river Wyre looks like in the night, like what the rocks look like. So I found that very helpful. And then later I found that he'd crossed over to, like, the paranormal realm.
Nicola, are you here? Have you passed away?
People, they kind of lose grip of the facts, you know.
I'm a paranormal investigator.
Day 19.
We had arranged for a press conference in order to try and negate the conspiracy theorists. I just thought, this family don't need this level of uncertainty and confusion. But before I went into the press conference, I think it was the night before, I was made aware that there were other stories being posted on social media regarding Nikki and Paul and some possible involvement with the police. The information included a reference to alcohol, as well as an incident at the family's address that was being taken completely out of context. I was really concerned possibly this was going to be something that people were going to focus on and the damage that this would have on the family and particularly Paul.
Social media. The story they were running with is that the police had been called on the 10th of January. The police have never been called. The call made was to the mental health nurses. A policeman came with them. We were just hoping and praying that none of that would come out because no one gets the story, you know. Nobody understands the background. They call it premenopause, don't they? All the horrible symptoms women get before the menopause. Nikki had been dealing with that for a couple of years. Me and Lou were helping Nikki as much as we could.
It's not uncommon to go through it young, but Nikki had it tough. And then, I guess over about a three-week period in total, she just wasn't functioning like normal Nikki.
All of a sudden, she couldn't sleep anymore. The lack of sleep, irritability, brain fog.
Mummy, what's over there?
Darling.
She'd be awake for hours in the night, hot sweats every single day. You know, everything was becoming difficult.
Nikki always liked things to be perfect and for the girls not to miss out on anything, so she probably put herself under unnecessary stress.
She never sat down, did she? She never ever sat down?
Never. Always on her feet. Always on her feet.
And then she stopped taking a HRT over that period as well, which then just obviously made things even worse.
She was then having a drink to deal with it, which then it was all kind of spiralling.
She got to the 10th, she'd been drinking and she'd fallen over and she'd hurt her arm. And in the end, I called 999.
We made that call on the 10th to get her the help that she needed at that point. They didn't deem her a threat to herself or obviously anybody else. Nikki was very angry that we'd made that call, but over the course of like 10 days, you know, she stopped the drinking. She was back on the medication. She was getting much more sort of a lot more stability.
It was literally normal, weird blip.
Yeah.
Normal.
Yeah.
That's the most honest answer I can give you.
Today, there's a press conference in the Nicola Bulley case. So we are going to be watching that press conference together. They're in the media room and they've started streaming.
Because of the commentary that was coming up on social media, Paul was just key to a lot of people's theories, and we had to negate that. Had to put some information out in a correct and accurate format.
Just before that press conference, we were told by the media team that there's issues with mental health.
So we're waiting. We are waiting, you guys. Let's see.
Got to be careful here. That was the wording, issues with mental health.
As soon as she was reported missing, following the information that was provided to the police by her partner, Paul, and based on a number of specific vulnerabilities that we were made aware of, Nicola was graded as high risk.
To our knowledge, the original statement talked about private medical history, but when the statement went out, it had been changed. We didn't know it had been changed. It had been changed to vulnerabilities.
Specific individual vulnerabilities. Specific to this case and Nicola.
I just remember watching it and hearing about the vulnerabilities and looking at you and thinking, oh, God, right. Media are not going to leave that there. Yeah.
Thank you, and both Becky and I are happy to take some questions.
The word specific vulnerabilities, that's so vague. What does that mean?
Can you just give us a bit more information about what Nikki's partner told you about her vulnerabilities?
I'm not going to go into the details of those individual vulnerabilities. I've asked you to respect a family who are going through unimaginable pain and distress at this moment.
The specific vulnerabilities, this was the centre of the story now.
Obviously, the press conference didn't go as I hoped it would. And we then were given information that a number of journalists were planning on publishing a story imminently.
The police were now in a huge panic about having to release information to do with what these vulnerabilities were. And all the press wouldn't stop picking about the 10th of January. Ah, it must have been a domestic incident then. Nikki's vulnerable, police were called.
We had to do something. We spoke to the family. We came up with a form of words with their agreement. And by that, I don't mean they were happy about this. They absolutely weren't, but neither were we.
They'd already drafted, like, a statement, and yeah. We wanted certain paragraphs of that to be tweaked slightly.
There were certain things they wanted taken out, and they asked for some wording to be replaced with the word menopause.
We were sat in the living room going through the statement, and we were like, doesn't have to say that, doesn't have to say this. And then before we knew it, it had just gone. We were still working on it, and then they'd released it.
It is quite lengthy, and I will read it from my phone. So, it is clear from speaking to Paul and the family that Nicola had in the past suffered with some significant issues with alcohol, which were brought on by her ongoing struggles with the menopause.
It was just such a shock when we got it. It was such a shock. The actual information that was released.
They go on to say, it is an unusual step for us to take, to us to go into this level of detail about someone's private life, but we felt it was important to clarify what we meant when we talked about vulnerabilities.
This is too much to reveal. Did we need to know this?
Watching the press conference and then, like, tiptoeing around the topic of these, you know, several vulnerabilities, and then saying they can't disclose it, but then 2 hours later just giving it to mainstream media?
I understand in hindsight it might seem we didn't need to do that. But in the moment, when you are being told that people are threatening to publish stories that you know will damage the family, you have to take some action.
Some people have seen this potentially as victim blaming.
It doesn't appear to help the search.
Went mad again, didn't it, in the media? More so for the defence of Nikki.
Lancashire police are facing a growing backlash for revealing that she'd had ongoing struggles with alcohol and the menopause.
Very many women.
The 45-year-old went missing on the 27th of January drugs during a riverside walk in the village of St. Albans on Wye.
The Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, has raised concerns with Lancashire police about the release of Nicola Bully's personal
with the Chief Constable, I wasn't wholly satisfied, I have to say, with some of the response
added
I
his
got.
Voice. To those concerned that private information about the mission
was put into the public domain and leaked to the
police. Said they knew she would never have wanted the information to be made public, but it had been done because they were aware
who was trying to sell. 3 weeks ago, asked for speculation about her private life to stop.
It makes your skin crawl. What would Nikki think of all this? I mean, bless her, she would be mortified of what's happened and how it's all come about, and you know, and it's horrible to think that.
Day 23.
At the end of that third week, we were getting into the window that a body would potentially come up to the surface. All of the searches were aerial based, and we had static points on river bridges with officers observing the surface of the water.
As spiritualist medium believes that life continues after the moment we call physical death. Nicola, when I first communicated with her, the one thing that she said that stood out to me was, find me where you find your dog. So my dog Hudson had died a few weeks earlier, so I just typed in St. Michael on the Weir, Hudson. And there is a place called Hudson's Fishery just along that piece of the water. And so we walked along the river to the place that she said she would be, and then this object came floating in the water.
Police have closed off Rawcliffe Road, very close to where Nicola was last seen.
Police drone, divers, officers, roads cordoned off here.
I got a call from one of Nicky's friends to say there was a lot of activity going on, that there's a couple of people that look quite traumatised.
I knew at that point that it must be Nikki.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Nicola and one of her girls.
Yeah, just disbelief.
Police vehicles.
For anyone joining now, Lancashire Police said this morning, Sunday, the 19th of February, you may be aware of police activity around the river. We were called at 11:36 a.m. to reports of a body in the River Wire. I wonder who called it in. I wonder who found it.
The hypotheses that were drawn were proved to be correct. And ultimately, we recovered Nikki, but the public involvement, the public interest did find her in the end.
At the riverbank, I could see the divers in the river with what I now know is Nikki. But I needed to make sure as well that she had privacy. So we put a tent up and I sat with Nikki in that tent for quite a long time until she was taken to the hospital.
Never forget Dad coming into the kitchen, just like completely breaking down, and Paul being out in the garden, just in a complete state.
Me and Paul, we just sort of hugged each other, broke her up.
Paul went to get the girls and went in the lounge with them with the liaison officer. And we stayed in the kitchen, didn't we?
I had to accept it quite quickly for them.
A video of Nicola dancing with her young daughters.
I mean, you can't ever imagine having to sit your children down and say something like that.
Mummy's died.
You heard him.
I'll never forget the cries. Never forget the cries.
Ernest and Dorothy, then a tearful Louise shaking her head. Paul wipes a tear away. a series of images of Nicola and the family.
Nikki, she was so beautiful. She didn't know it. There was no, you know, ego. There was no airs and graces about her. She was just natural. We were all about the little things, the beautiful little things that made us who we were.
She just liked the simple life, really, and the being a mum and made her. She was so good at it. She was an amazing mum.
Nicola and Willow.
Happy birthday, Dad.
She's soft, Nicola, isn't she?
Yeah.
Nicola sledging.
Her favourite saying was, I'll do it.
Yeah, she was very
independent.
Sometimes
you say, yeah.
So independent, drove you nuts.
Yeah.
Nicola on a hoverboard.
Nailed it. We were just lost in each other, really. Showing off.
Make me dizzy, that. I got this spinning.
I'd never really met anybody like it before. I feel very blessed that we found each other.
What a face, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love it.
4 months later, an inquest ruled Nicola's death accidental. She drowned as a result of cold water shock after falling into the River Wye.
None of us know when our time's going to come. I wish she hadn't have taken the dog that day and she'd be here now.
Mm. When I go to bed, I always kiss to the one on the landing.
That seems to follow us around.
It does. It's...
Every angle you turn, she's looking at you. So when I'm getting undressed, I have to shut the door. But I'm always talking to her anyway.
He does, I can hear him.
Oh, it's on bloody hell, Jay, give it a rest.
The family together.
Hello.
As far as Nicky going missing and the mystery to it, I guess, it was just an accident. It doesn't always have to be something sinister linked to something that happens. Sometimes bad things just happen. Just wish it hadn't happened to us. We're just a normal family. Has had a really tough time.
They've started using that again a lot. Yeah, so I'm just going to keep it for now. Nikki being found in the water is horrific, but it ends that hell of not knowing.
Let me see what you've written.
Can I say it?
Yes, you can say it.
Please, Mummy, I miss you, and I wish you could be here.
That's perfect, sweetheart.
I still struggle talking about Nikki in the past sense.
Do you want to hold it?
Yeah.
I see her and the girls every single day, you know?
How?
See all these little mannerisms in them, and I just stop sometimes and I'm like, flipping heck. That was Mummy, you know? And that is worth everything, I think.
The girls release gold love heart balloons with messages.
There they go.
Wow.
Someone to say it's an unidentified flying object. Just gone over Inskip.
On the day that Nicola was found, TikToker Curtis Arnold filmed her body being removed from the river.
This place where she's been found is the only place along that river, really, where the road goes right up to the river.
The video was viewed nearly 1 million times. 3 weeks later, he was arrested but not charged.
I can't have around
here. Yeah.
Where's your car, sorry?
At the end of the lane, mate, on the main road.
Right, OK.
I went for a walk in the countryside and I've come back this way.
After Nicola was found, Sky and ITV contacted the family directly, despite their request for privacy. This led to an Ofcom complaint and investigation. Peter Falding declined to take part in this documentary. Unsubstantiated theories and speculation about what happened to Nicola continue to be shared online today.
You'll find details of organisations offering information and support with bereavement, missing persons, or if you've been affected by crime at the Action Line pages of the BBC website.